Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 with the Southwest Texans starts right now.
All right, everybody, this is another episode of the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. I'm your host, as always, the Southwest Texan Day-Day Cruz. Now, tonight I have a very special tag team on the line tonight. They're a great tag team. They're going to be going on to do great things. One of them's injured, I'm told, and another one's going to be going to Jacksonville soon. But, man, it's going to be an exciting interview. They're Master and Machine, man. If you haven't heard of them, look them up. They're a great tag team. They've been out since 2016. They've been out 3 years almost. Oh, yeah, 3 years and some change. Man, they're such a great tag team. I appreciate it from Bill Barons. And this is all brought to you by the Open Talk Radio, The Flash, 313. Man, Martez, well, how's it going, brother?
Oh, man, it's going good, man. It's going good. Another good Thursday. I'm excited about this show tonight.
Oh, yeah. So what did you think about? Did you end up catching NXT last night?
I saw bits and pieces of it, man. I really didn't see it in its entirety. So yes and no. I don't want to lie and say I remember everything.
Right.
But I saw the what was it? Dakota Kai and Raquel Rodriguez and the other four girls when they were fighting. Yeah.
That was a good match. But Drake Maverick ended up getting his contract back. That's a good thing. But I kind of see that as a swerve because WWE, I believe that they did that on purposely last night. I believe that they had that contract on hold because if you look at what Impact did, they did a little video vignette of past Impact stars such as itself as a Rockstar Spud, EC3,
right.
The Good Brothers, and everybody else. So I'm thinking that they were going to try to sign them. WWE is going to let them go, and they're going to let Drake Maverick get his contract back for because he was good in that tournament. So they're going to keep him in NXT as a cruiserweight. So I believe that was one swerve that WWE had in their pocket last night.
Hey, I believe that too.
So, yeah, man, if anybody wants to call in and get in on the conversation, area code 646-668-8672. Come to rap with the Southwest Texan, and even when you want to rap with Martez, man, we're going to talk about wrestling, and then pretty soon I'm going to have a great tag team on the line, which I don't know if they're on the line yet.
Yep, we do have callers that have called in, but your interview is here now, so we can bring them on.
All right, everybody, welcome to the line. Master Machine, how's it going, guys?
Yeah, how's it going? This is Marcus here.
And Griff, we're doing good. How about y'all?
Oh, man, we can't complain. We can't complain. All we can do is say thank you guys for the time and accepting our invitation to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, brothers.
Thank you so much for having us. Honor to be here.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Where should we start?
So how are you guys holding up during this pandemic going on? Are you guys just stayed reopened or is it still on quarantine?
So we're based out of North Carolina. This is where we grew up together. But right now our state is in a phase two of opening. So right now it's kind of like people are starting to finally get out and be active and do stuff. And me being the injured one, I tore my ACL. I'm just trying to do that as much as possible, get out and swim, walk, and exercise what I need to do to get better right now. So things are starting to look up from where they were.
Right, right. I'm pretty sure that you guys are excited about that and ready to get back into the ring after your injury. But Man, you guys started wrestling. You guys started the wrestling game actually 3 years in your pro. You know, I know you guys have been in the independents, which I love the indies. You know what I'm saying? But you guys, what got you guys into wrestling, and how long were you guys into wrestling training before you guys got into the pro wrestling?
This is Griff now. Marcus moved into my neighborhood when we were probably in seventh or eighth grade. And then we met each other at school, and we each found out that we liked wrestling. And so we started, like, hanging out a lot and just watching wrestling. And then eventually we got a trampoline. And then we started, like, watching matches, and then we went outside and would do the moves that they did. And that probably lasted for 5 or 6 years of us wrestling on the trampoline. And
by the time we graduated high school, we were like, hey, this is our dream. We've been talking about it since we were kids. So let's just, you know, go for it. Let's shoot our shot. And then we looked up a local wrestling schools. We found one in Greensboro, North Carolina. It was a brand new at the time, Firestar Pro Wrestling. We are the third and fourth graduates of the program there, and that's where we got our start, right after we graduated high school.
Yeah, nice, nice. So were you guys, like, actually into it? I know you guys were into it, but, like, who were you guys' favorite wrestlers growing up, and are they currently your favorite, or who are your guys' favorite right now?
Well, growing up, my family's from El Paso, and I have a lot of family in El Paso. In fact, my dad even went to high school and college with Eddie Guerrero. My family is close to that family, and that's kind of an influence I've had on me my whole life. And so Eddie Guerrero was always my favorite wrestler, and I've been watching wrestling since I was that young, you know, just because of the impression that he has already had on my family. So it was kind of like meant to me to grow up loving Eddie and the Guerreros. So that's my side.
And for me, I was the typical kid. I grew up loving John Cena. He was my favorite wrestler, and he's still one of my favorite wrestlers. But, yeah, I started watching when I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and I just remember tuning into Raw and SmackDown and watching it with my dad. So it was a lot of fun.
Nice, nice, yeah. So you guys were into indie wrestling, but, I mean, you know, you guys went on to do great things and going into Ring of Honor. And, I mean, you know, what do you guys – about the independent wrestling scene, you know, all in a whole. I mean, I come from Michigan, and we got a promotion that's called Horseland. We got many promotions out here, man. I mean, have you guys even heard of Horseland, or have you guys ever been wrestled in Michigan?
We haven't been around to Michigan. The most traveling that we've done is just a few promotions on the coast, a little bit up north. We've done a lot of bookings for Ring of Honor, but also Maryland Championship Wrestling, we've done a few, and then we've done a lot more south, like in Georgia, India, and stuff like that. North
right.
Carolina. I've been to Mexico one time on a private show,
which was a lot of fun.
Nice. I'm pretty sure it was. It's always fun to be over there. I've never been, but I got family over there, and they always show me videos and Snapchats of how much fun they have. But who actually trained you guys? Did you guys train yourselves basically? I mean, I know you guys said you got a trampoline and you guys did the moves. But did you guys, you know, I know you guys, well, you guys trained together, right, basically?
Yeah, pretty much.
All your life, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
We were in high school watching stuff on TV, and we would go out on the trampoline and practice, but I feel like all of the time that we spent actually just copying everything we saw on TV gave us a little bit of an edge. When we went in to train for pro wrestling, it wasn't very long. We were having our first matches within 3 to 4 months of starting our initial training.
And we were trained at Firestar Wrestling by LeBron Cozone.
Okay. So guys been actually pro wrestling as a tag team since 2017. You guys been on fire, and like you said, you've been injured. You got injured. How long ago were you injured? Because you guys actually wrestled before the pandemic started. I know you guys wrestled before then.
Yeah, so I got injured around January when I was performing for Ring of Honor. I was it was in Concord, North Carolina. It was right at the beginning of the new year, and we're going for one of our signature moves. It's called the Skywalker Elbow. It's a very
right.
move, very original. No one's ever seen it, where I am on the top turnbuckle, Griff's in the ring, and he already tagged me in, and I step from the turnbuckle onto Griff's chest, and he's a tall guy.
Right.
And he throws his in the air to boost me even higher than I could get off the turnbuckle, and I come down with an elbow drop. Devastating maneuver. But in the event of that, I did land in not the right way, in an awkward way, and I tore my ACL. I was trying to nurse it and go back. It was a partial tear at the time. I didn't know that. I hadn't actually gone and gotten any work done. I thought I could nurse the injury myself. So a month later, we're back in Baltimore for the Free Enterprise event at Ring of Honor, and I'm going for the exact same maneuver, but this time it happens when I'm jumping off of Griff, and I just totally blow out my knee, and it gets impacted on the landing.
But good news about that night, we did win that match. So that's, if you want to take some good news away from that.
But, so after that, I had a totally obliterated ACL and tearing the meniscus that needed to be repaired. I was actually scheduled to go in right at the end of March, but then even the lockdown canceled that, so my surgery had to be pushed back another month. So I got it at the end of April, like right at the tail end of April, so it's about 5 weeks I'm out from surgery, and I'm already running and exercising, and so it's looking up, you know.
Okay, because I was going to ask, now, we know that, Griff, you're supposed to be heading to Jacksonville. I was going to say, with your injury going on, Marcus, is that what's the next move for Motor and Machine Gun? You know, are you Marcus, going to stay in Ring of Honor, and are you gonna head to Jacksonville with Griff, or what's gonna become of Motor, Master and Machine?
Well, so pretty much I support Griff 100%. I want him to go, and I want him to do his best everywhere he goes. Right now, I think we're just kind of exploring our options on what opportunities we are available to get. So we keep getting opportunities at Ring of Honor. If the door opens for me because of Griff at AEW, I'll gladly take that. We're just trying to get every opportunity we can and make the most of all of them. What do you think, Griff?
Yeah, I think that, too. It's important to impress everyone go, and so – at Ring of Honor, I feel like we've been doing a pretty good job of that. And,
everywhere we go, 1,000%.
Yeah, and I think at AEW,
you guys, have been great. I watched a lot of your guys' match. You guys are great. You guys had a long journey in Ring of Honor. That's for sure.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I consider it pretty. I mean, I'm not trying to toot our own horn here, but having only been in the game 3 years and we've already challenged for the Ring of Honor Tag Championships against the Briscoes.
Versus the Briscoes.
I think that's kind of saying something about us. And that was something that had to be voted into. The fans decided on that. And it was a few teams that, you know, haven't really been in a major spotlight. We were one of them, and we got voted in. That was
very cool.
And we were very thankful for that.
It was very cool to also test our abilities against, in my opinion, the best tag team in the world. So that was like, it was really cool for us just to be able to do that.
See how we can hang with the best, you know?
Yeah,
because, I mean, like, I'm looking at you guys as win and losers. I mean, you guys are a fire as a tag team. And I've watched a lot of the videos, even the ones that Bill Burns sent me. I mean, thank you again to Bill for bringing you guys on. But you guys are a great tag team, man. I'm watching you guys. I'm looking at it right now. And, man, I can't wait. I would love to see you guys in AEW and do your thing and win those tag team titles. I mean, that would be something great.
I mean, heck yeah, man. And then after that, you got to have us back on again.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I would love to have you guys on after that. Even man, that would be excellent. But, that I'm dead serious, man, and bring everybody you can. But another question I was gonna ask is as soon as you get cleared, Marcus, is what's your guys' dream tag team match? And I know you guys as singles competitors have a dream singles match. Who's the singles match that you guys would choose, and who's the tag team that you guys would choose?
I think the two people that come to mind for singles would be Kenny Omega for me and Cody, just because I just feel like me personally, I could have really good matches with those two. I think as a tag team, who would you say? Villain Enterprises, maybe?
Villain Enterprises would be great. I would love to work with any of the members from Villain Enterprises.
Yeah, Marty, Brody, PCO, Flip.
I think the tag teams in both AEW and Ring of Honor are very stout. I wouldn't mind working with any of them.
Yeah, for real.
Before 3 months ago, our dream match was the Briscoes. Like that, from day one. So I want to talk about that for a second. Just from day – I don't know that I have any more – I haven't really thought about who my next dream opponent is because
yeah, we already wrestled them.
Yeah. It was the Briscoes. That was our end-all beat. Now, I guess next time I just want to beat them. That's my goal.
Yeah.
We almost did.
Yeah. If
yeah, for sure. That would be, yeah, that's that
awesome. For myself, I would love to get a chance at Will Ospreay. I feel like we'd have great chemistry.
Yeah, that would be great. Now, that would be a great match. Yeah, I would love to see that one. Now, why did you, you know, I'm pretty sure I know why you would choose AEW, but did WWE ever give you guys a chance? I mean, if you guys would choose, if they gave you a chance, would you choose AEW versus WWE, or would you choose WWE over AEW or even Impact or New Japan or et cetera, NWA?
Honestly, I'm not sure because it would just all depend on the situation, you know, like. If like how many years like is that away if the when the contract comes or if I have a family or something, it would just all depend on like certain factors. So I don't want to say I'd pick one over the other. It would just depend for me.
I think at this moment in our life, we need to be able to go somewhere that is going to allow us to have the most growth and freedom. I mean, we're trying to be the best that we can. We push ourselves to the best that we can be, but we still have a lot of growing that needs to be done, and I think we both realize that. And so right now, being in a company like AEW, ROH, or even being able to go overseas in Japan and have as much freedom, you know, as they let us, I think that would be great. I just think, personally, the WWE is a little bit restrictive of that. I think we'd have no problem going through the developmental system now, but I think we just want more freedom for ourselves at this point in time, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's most definitely WWE's very restrictive of what they do over there, so I kind of see where you guys are going with that, and that's very true. I could see, but I could see you guys in anywhere else besides that. That would be great. But since you know Ring of Honor ain't running nothing, you know what I'm saying? Talking about WWE and everywhere else, do you guys even watch the current product that's going on, the empty arena matches?
Yeah, we do. I keep up with WWE personally a little bit more. Just because I know that at some point in my life, I know that that's going to end up being a goal, hopefully.
Okay.
You know, the big
yeah.
At this point. But I've been paying more close attention to the WWE matches, and I like what they're doing. It just, at some point, it's getting a little stale, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
The crowd interaction is what really makes it for me. I love that atmosphere.
No. I actually like what AEW is doing. I even like what Impact is doing because, I mean, it's all getting stale. If you look at it, it's all the same stuff. Once you watch it, it's just different people, different storylines. You know, it's just the same difference. And, I mean, because I watch all three products, WWE is getting more stale than AEW and Impact. But, I mean, it's all getting boring to me. I'm ready to go back to being in the crowd, and I'm pretty sure you guys are ready to wrestle in front of the crowd.
Oh yeah, for sure. I even plan to maybe go have a few rounds at my old stomping grounds, Firestar Pro Wrestling, just to get back into that true ring shape. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is all over.
For sure, that's always where it starts, man. Is your stomping grounds, and you can never forget your stomping grounds because that's where
you
started.
You can always go back.
For sure, but yeah. Also, I was gonna ask you guys, do you have a favorite on the road story that you guys, you know what I'm saying, have, like being as a tag team that you guys been together forever. You guys have a favorite story of when you were on the road with either in the Indies or Ring of Honor.
I think our favorite experience ever going somewhere for wrestling was Cabo, Mexico.
When we went to Cabo, it was really cool. We got there on a Wednesday, and we didn't wrestle till Friday, and so we got to explore, like, the town and everything, and, like, the nightlife was really fun, and then on show day, we see Michael Phelps in the crowd, and then after the matches, he comes back there and, like, hangs out with the guys and, you know, takes pictures and stuff, so that was a really fun experience.
And then we went to, like, his favorite bar.
Yeah, we got all
down in Cabo, and we got drinks all night long, because we were part of the Michael Phelps fun.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Nice, nice. Yeah, man. Another thing I wanted to ask you guys, man, is, you know, for your guys, I mean, I asked you guys this earlier, but as for Master Machine,
I would love to see you guys win the tag team titles in AEW or wherever you guys would want to go. Is I can see you guys anywhere, and I would love to see you guys live. I don't know if you guys will ever come to Michigan, but I would travel even to come see you guys.
Thanks, brother. That means a lot. You know what? I will go anywhere Bill Barron books us. So
exactly.
You have his contact number, so you could say, hey, maybe you should get these boys over here.
Yeah, for sure, man. I would, like I said, I've watched your guys' videos that Bill sent me, and I've been watching your guys' videos all week, man. It's you guys are flipping awesome, and you guys haven't even reached your peak yet. That's what's the crazy part. So even when you guys reach your whole, like, all the way peak, man, I could see you guys running the division anywhere you guys go, and I like I said, I would love to see it live. And one last thing I got to say is thank you. Thank you guys for accepting my invitation, and I really appreciate it. And I know you guys are busy, but and I thank Bill Barron again.
We'll send you a shirt.
Excuse me?
If you give Bill your information, we can send you a shirt.
Oh, man, I would really appreciate that. I would hang that in my office, like, really. And next time I'm we'll have to zoom it in because my studio is under construction right now because I just moved into my new house, and I'm putting one of my rooms into a whole, you know, a whole studio, so that's going to go on my wall.
Sweet, man.
Yeah, so last thing is if the listeners are listening and you guys want to let them know where they can get you on social media and where they could get the Master Machine merch from?
You can find me at Griff Garrison on
at Dominic Marcus Cross on Instagram or also Facebook.
Okay, you guys heard it yourself, but like I said, I appreciate the guys' time and you guys' interview, and I'll be sending you guys my information, and I appreciate the shirt. And I would love to have you guys on again after you guys, you know, get your guys' interest going and you guys come back from AEW. Good luck over there in Jacksonville, Griff. I'm wishing you the best of luck, man.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys. I appreciate you guys. Have a good night, and you guys stay safe. You guys, that was Master Machine from Ring of Honor and soon to be from AEW, man. Martez, what'd you think about the interview?
I thought it was another fantastic interview. Great chemistry with the guest. Those are two guys that I'm going to have to start following because I really haven't followed them like that, but I definitely was impressed with the interview.
Yeah, yeah. Is there any callers on the line? Any other callers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
we can go to Dominic or I think Greg. Either or, we can go to one of them at a time if you want.
I mean, we can go to Dominic and then we'll get to Greg. That's fine to me. Either way.
All right, we'll bring Dominic on. All right, the legend of this platform.
All right, all right, what's going on, Dominic? How's it going?
What's going on, Cruz? Long time in here, you man.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, man. How's it going? What'd you think about my interview?
Man, you nailed it out the park, brother. Good job.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, hey, man, Martez is stepping up his game of interviews, and we was texting while you were doing the interview, man. He's getting some big names, man. He's leveling up, as they say, on the street.
Yeah, well, let me.
That's definitely, man. Martez is the man, the hustle behind this muscle over here in Open Talk Radio, man. I always tell him that. That's not a lie. That's just fact.
Thank you, man.
That's just fact, man.
I got to show love to you, so Cruz, you've been getting a lot of good, great guests, too, man.
I appreciate that, Tez, and always, man. You know, we're brothers, and like you say, always God first, and God put us together for a reason, man, because we great minds, we all think alike, and that's all of us at Open Talk Radio, and I'll tell you that much. On this whole platform, man, we're all doing great things. Over there, Gorilla Position, man, with Steve Aarons, which is up next, guys. You guys got to tune in after that, man. If you guys ain't going to tune in, you guys are crazy because they got a great show over there. But, man, this whole platform is just great.
But, yeah, man, I can't wait to – oh, you guys, I'm going to have an actual Zoom interview of the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. That's going to be special. That's going to be coming to you guys next week, and that's going to be my next interview was supposed to be Congo Kong, but we rescheduled again. But, yeah, next week is going to be Congo Kong, and a little later – I have a surprise because over here we have a special location where we're going to be holding a horse slam over here in Lincoln Park. It's going to be called the Undisputed Kings, the Undisclosed Location Extravaganza 2020. We're going to have two death matches and seven matches after that. So that's something you don't want to miss. Rachel Green and Briar Wellington or one or the other are going to be on the line in a little bit. So I can't wait to actually have that going. So, Martez, man. Like I said, I would love to have you here, man. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be some blood, some guts, and some best of the pro wrestling that you've ever seen in your life over here from the Indy, Michigan wrestling scene.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to let you know off air, like, if I can come or not, because I got my schedule now.
Okay, yeah, yeah. No, for sure, man. Even if not, man, we always got the next time. It's going to be fun. But is Greg on the line, too? Or is Dominic still on the line?
Oh, yeah, brother. I'm still on the line.
Oh, you still here? Okay,
here.
Man. Yeah. So what do you have you been watching the golly, I'm tongue tied. Have you watched the current product like I asked my guest?
Yeah. I've been trying to watch bits and pieces, man. Of old wrestling, man. It's so hard me being a central frontline worker, man, right now. You know, as you see, of course, I haven't been, you know, a part of the platform. I've been kind of sidelined and, you know, on and off, man. I've been trying to get as much as wrestling, you know, take to wrestling as much as I can, man, when I get a chance, and the mind, body, and be in the spirit for it, bro. But it's like you know what? Oh, go ahead, crew.
No, go ahead. I was listening.
You know, I mean, of course, was one of the reasons why wrestling, you know, the entertainment of wrestling is just to escape reality, you know. When I definitely need to escape reality, you know.
Yeah, that's for
right
sure,
now.
Man. Wrestling is an escape from reality, man. Like I said, that's why we all do it, and that's actually why, like I said, I'm turning a part of my home into my office, and it's going to be crazy, man. I got so much... Man, so much to put up, man. It's gonna be wild once you guys see it, cause I'm gonna put it all together. I got my Ric Flair's autograph. I got my Randy Orton's. I got my AJ Styles. I got my Seth Rollins. I got my Roman Reigns. I got pictures of Stone Cold whooping Kurt Angle's ass, Shawn Michaels, everybody, man. I got it all.
That's the problem.
I got picture. I got the Rock's autograph, and I got the picture of him signing my autograph.
Oh, man, you. Hey, Cruz, you the goat,
bro.
You are.
Man, no, man, I can't say that, man, because like I said, we're all great, man. We're all great. Shoot, that's all I can say. If I could say something, we're the NXT of the POD over here in the Open Talk Radio. we're the NXT of the POD world.
Yeah,
that's all
I gotta
say. That's all I have to say is that we're the next. We're the NXT. That's all I can
bang,
say.
Bang.
I don't have the copyright to that name, but that's all I'm going to say.
We in development.
Yeah, man. We are, man. We are. Because the Open Talk Radio is where it's at. And if you ain't listening to us, you guys are crazy because you ain't getting your daily medication of wrestling over here. If you listen to somewhere else, you're crazy. That's just the crazy
it's
part
really-
about it.
It's release therapy, man. Every time I come on here, whatever the show, man, if it's, you know, you and Tez, Crusoe, the Guerrilla Warfare, me, myself, and Tez, we just having fun, man.
Yeah, that's all I can say, man, is that one day, man, we're going to have to get some custom-made Hall of Fame rings that say Open Talk right here on them. That's what I can say. We're going to have to get those custom-made somewhere, some Open Talk Radio Hall of Fame rings or something.
Hey, man, I know I'm kind of late. I wanted to talk about, I know earlier before your interview, you were talking about NXT, like the, pretty much, I always want to say Rockstar Spud myself, the Drake Maverick. How you, in general, I know y'all guys probably, that's how much I've been zoomed out. How y'all guys feel about the whole what's going on in wrestling history, the Dark Wednesday of the release of the whole wrestlers?
Man, one thing I can say is WWE is kind of foolish for doing that, but in a way I could see where they were going because they didn't know where the money was going to go, and they're spending all this money on superstars that they don't really technically use on a daily or on a weekly basis on Raw, SmackDown, et cetera, you know what I'm saying? So, like I said earlier, with the Drake Maverick thing, him signing his NXT contract, WWE had that in the pocket because they seen that commercial the other day that Impact Wrestling put out, which you guys should be watching every Tuesday at night at 8 o'clock on Access TV. That was told to me by John, capital letter E, period, Bravo. That was told
right,
by the
right.
man. So that was a little plug. So, yeah, hopefully I can have him over this weekend. But I got an extravaganza going down this weekend. But we're going to get a little bit of that later on. But, yeah, it's going to be fun, man. But, yeah, like I said, Impact had that commercial going on. Like they had EC3, the Good Brothers, even Mike Kanellis, Rockstar Spud, Drake Maverick,
yeah.
whatever you call them. But, yeah, they had that in their pocket because they knew that Drake Maverick is an actual great talent. And they were going to let him go, but they Impact was, you know, picking him up quick, and they didn't have their 90-day complete clause. And man, they just did that on purpose. I don't know if they're going to do that with EC3. They even got the Rusev. They didn't put Rusev up because they didn't have no footage of him from Impact Wrestling, but they put that Bulgarian flag up there too. So maybe we'll see Rusev taking over Impact, the Impact Zone. And winning that Impact World title, because I believe that's, you know, Rusev should have been WWE champion a long time ago. He should have been champion
ago.
While.
I mean, I know everybody's talking to their opinion. I'm not going to say you're wrong or right now. It's just my opinion. It's,
okay.
You know, when I get on this show, I'm going to speak the truth. No, I'm not this.
Okay.
Or, you know, I'm going to say it like it is. I think that was petty, bitch. Majority of them was stars. Yeah, you're right. That, you know, they was not using it on a daily basis, but those guys just didn't care for it. And he used the pandemic. The pandemic and, yeah, the budget cut and
mm-hmm.
that whole corporate talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, like, you know, yeah, you know, like you said, Rockstar Spud was a good talent. I mean, what's next? Gallows and Anderson, they were just coming back to, you know, getting some, you know, EC3, that's a great talent. Y'all waste them. No Way Jose. No Way Jose was, I heard an interview, he said he was trying to go to the writers, to the agent, you know, the agent saying, how can I, you know, can I be more aggressive? Can I do this? Can I do that? But they was like, no.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, that was that Vince. You know, when Hunter, you know, is in there about certain indie, whoever's that been released from the indies or their rival competitor that's like, oh, yeah, you know, we need to get them. You know, that's like, yeah, you know, yeah, let's get them before anybody else does. Just, you know, throw this salary toward them. And, you know, and then when he's, you know, actually, yeah, and, yeah, there's so many, like, I can understand Russo. It was probably the best, you know, it was the time, you know, the best, you know, wishes, you know, try somewhere else. But, man, it's so many, you know, like we just said not too long ago. And I've been saying on the show, the minor leagues, no matter what your status, no matter how many years, if you're not, you know, as the wrestler, if you know you're not getting that buzz or you know you're lackluster or whatnot, just fall back. You know, as a wrestler, you need to, you know, you got to, if you to stay on top, you got to reinvent yourself. You may be struggling with personal, you know, physical health, mental, you know, Mike skills, Russ, whatnot, wherever you're going through. We seen it. Finn Balor fell back. Charlotte Flair currently is like, you know, she's the scout team right now for the females. They just throwing females at her to see who can at least. Oh yeah, they're not gonna win, but who can at least compete at her level and who can be the next potential selling for females. So it was so many, you know, at that time that should have. Yeah, they wasn't, you know, getting that main call look or getting the right, you know, getting the right look. There should have been fell back by Tyler Breeze, you know. So
right,
yeah, that's just my opinion.
I totally.
Oh yeah,
I totally agree with you. No, I mean, we all got our opinion. That's kind of, you know, I agree with you. But the NXT thing is like, you know, it's kind of like not even actually a demotion no more, because NXT is becoming one of the third brands. I'm pretty sure when things get back to normal, WWE is going to end up putting NXT on the road just like Raw and SmackDown. NXT is slowly becoming better than Raw and SmackDown together. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's my opinion. I'm pretty sure, because I got another caller on the line with us, is Greg, and I'm pretty sure he has his opinion on that too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like as we see in during the week, the build up of Survivor Series last year, NXT, when they had the little matches against the main roster,
NXT
showed out.
No, exactly, and that's what I mean. NXT is something organic and special that Triple H brought out from his blood and sweat and tears. You know what I'm saying? And it's time, because you know what I'm saying? Triple H actually wanted to develop more wrestlers and actually put on a show that was kind of attitude-ish, but actually has the oomph and whatever it is that today brings of the high flyers and the excitement that was attitude and mixed in with today's era of wrestling. But actually, like, you see Adam Cole. I see him as a young Shawn Michaels. He's been champion for longer than a year. You know, Adam Cole is what a Shawn Michaels was. Adam Cole, Bay. You know what I'm saying? Then you got the HBK. You know what I'm saying? That's something that's organic. And Adam Cole is what NXT is. Johnny Gargano calls himself the heart and soul of NXT. But if you look at it, he was NXT champion and North American champion for a short time. Adam Cole was the inaugural NXT North American champion. He's the longest reigning NXT champion. So, I mean, NXT is actually becoming one of the biggest things since Shoestring.
Absolutely. I think we just came to the closure. You guys got anything else, or you want to go to the next caller?
I mean, we can all mix in. It could be another week. We could bring back the old school. We could bring back the Rated R edition of the Bay Show until my next guest. Come on, let's do this.
Right.
Let's do this. The Rated
let's do
R,
it,
guys, the Rated R edition of the debate show. How about that? Let's do this. You in, Martez? Let's do
hey,
this.
Yeah, whatever you need me to do, I'm down with it.
Let's bring Greg on. Let's bring back the old school.
Well, I thought this was Greg. Greg, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I've just been enjoying the show. Good evening, gentlemen.
Oh, I appreciate it, bro. But yeah, so you know, you can bring it on the debate. Let's do the debate show. What do you think about the whole NXT? Well, first of all, welcome my brother Greg to the show, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. Surviving, trying to keep my head together. We getting ready for this big wrestling show this weekend at the undisclosed location.
Big wrestling show this weekend, biggest extravaganza. 2020.
So, you know, one thing I think about a lot with NXT is, like you said, Survivor Series, NXT was super over, and they even went over, and they probably did that to compete with AEW to, you know, try to get a heads up. But if you look at it, like, NXT isn't putting the numbers up that Raw is, right? But ask any wrestling fan will tell you they would prefer to watch NXT. So what's the difference? The difference is, and the difference between this and the Monday Night War is this. Sadly, back in the mid to late 90s, they found out through the Monday Night War that there were WCW fans and WWF fans. And I think what they're finding out now is wrestling fans are only one group of people. And if you make them choose between good wrestling, they're going to. And you see that on the internet with these clowns that just attack each other. And that's why I say wrestling fans are the worst. You know what I mean? You got to choose a side, AEW or WWE or AEW or NXT. And I think if you kind of add the numbers up, it pretty much equals a Raw or a SmackDown these days. Oh, 2 million people are watching wrestling. And you make them choose, they're going to choose.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Right. That's for sure. But NXT absolutely has the, you know, some of the best wrestling on TV. I mean, pure wrestling. The wrestling fans wrestling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So what do you think about
that's
the upcoming In Your House?
Yeah,
they're
trying to bring back nostalgia.
That's the pay-per-view I've been asking for the longest to bring back.
Yeah.
But I
NXT
mean, it
has never disappointed me. I've never said, man, I could have done something else this evening.
They're bringing nostalgia back. They're bringing nostalgia back like they try to do the War Games. The War Games, NXT blew out the park. NXT blew that out the park. The War Games, they took that and blew that out the park. But if you look at it, maybe if NXT is not going to be able to pull that In Your House still because they're not going to have the original set. They're not going to have, you know what I'm saying? It's not original. It's not original. That's like trying to bring back the NWO right now with Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, and Scott Hall. You can't do it. You have great
Yeah,
have
the,
great
the only reason they're doing that is to keep people from using trademarks that they know they haven't used, that people, you know what I mean, might want. But, you know, to me, it's just another NXT pay-per-view. And the NXT pay-per-views, if you look at each pay-per-view over the calendar year, NXT will be like the top 4 or 5 out of 16 or 18. And they only have, what, 6 shows a year?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They just, man, they give the guys the times, the matches time to tell the stories they need to tell. And it's, I don't know, I it's still hard for me without fans to feel the emotion of wrestling.
That's what I'm saying. And the whole thing, like I said earlier with NXT, is that Triple H is trying to bring back that feel of the storytelling of the not so many pay-per-views every month, every pay-per-view every month, you know what I'm saying? They're not doing that. They're doing a six-month thing like WWF used to do, slash WWE, but they started doing too much when they went public and went all that bull crap, and you know what I'm saying? I think that should have been something different. You know, they shouldn't have never took that route because without even going public and doing all that bullshit, you know what I'm saying, they could have went and still sold merch, sold out arenas, sold out stadiums, and still made more money. I believe still made more money than what they're doing going public because now they're losing money because they're losing stocks. They're in stocks. That's why they're losing all that money.
Well,
so,
and
I
here's
mean,
the thing. That's why you'll never see a 2-hour Raw because it's just what you said. It's all advertiser money. And they have sold 3 hours of advertising, and they will never give up one of those 3 hours of advertising revenue. They can't, and that's the other thing. They have stockholders to answer to, and it kind of changes the game, maybe too much.
So what do you think, Dominic?
Okay, I'm trying to multitask. All right, I'm back to full gear. Yeah, I totally agree on both of you guys. They didn't went too corporate, and there's no returning back from Vince. That he, yeah,
he got to do stuff to and collateral to, you know, stay afloat or call himself pleased, thinking he's pleasing the fans, but really he's pleasing himself.
Yeah. He has to please the stockholders. Because he can't say, you know, why are we giving up this revenue? They don't, you know, and when you get stockholders, which nothing against the way people are doing business and making money, but they don't understand wrestling. They don't know wrestling. They're investing in numbers. You know what I mean? And when you do that, you, even though Vince McMahon is in all control, he's not in all control. Little stories have come out, like SmackDown leveraged, you know, Fox, they've leveraged to get certain superstars on their show.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's how the whole Brock Lesnar change thing happened. But, you know, they have to answer to the stockholders, and no matter whether somebody wants to admit it or not, and it's mainly because, you know, Fox has the SmackDown deal, and then they have the deal with, I think USA kind of, you know, got lucky and got a gem getting NXT when they decided to, you know, compete with AEW.
That's why WWE is always doing what they're doing. They're always on the move. Like I said earlier with the Drake Maverick thing, they had that thing in the pocket. They didn't even, man, I can only say that they did that on purpose.
I think that was a reactive move. There was such outcry when he, you know, got released and he was still in the tournament, and it was a perfect opportunity. And like you said, it didn't hurt that they realized, damn, this guy don't even have a no compete. And yeah, I don't care what they want to say. They know what Impact is doing. They know what AEW is doing. If nothing else, there are people that get paid to know what Impact or AEW is doing and reports it to somebody who, you know, it manipulates the things they do. Even though they're kind of, you know, all right, let these guys go. They can't. Well, other places are still signing guys, for one. And for two, they, you know, it becomes apparent, as it did before you acquired them, that, wow, this guy got over or is over. And they, watch, they're going to fuck this Matt Riddle thing up, and it's going to be another, like, regret project. He'll get the little push, and then he'll get squashed. I'm waiting for him to, you know, squash poor Apollo Crews.
I see
Cruz.
It's another Leo Rush project.
Yeah.
Same way as Leo Rush.
100%. Leo Rush was a great talent.
Yeah, that's another example.
Leo Rush was a great talent, you know what I'm saying? They gave him his little Cruiserweight Championship, and then, boom, there we go. He's gone.
Dude, how many Drake Maverick matches have we seen besides him, you know, getting heat, getting beat up by someone bigger than him? It was, they didn't utilize his talent as a wrestler, just like they didn't Leo Rush. He was Bobby Lashley's bitch. Like, what the fuck is that? Leo Rush is a superstar fucking talent, dude. And he's, you know what I mean, he's Bobby Lashley's crony that takes beatings for him and gets humiliated for him to get heat because, you know, because he can talk. Like, wow, what shit? And that just goes to prove what people have always said. It's true that the little guy will never get no love for no kind of time, you know. It's always short-lived.
Yep. And I can't believe that WWE did that. Like I said, Leo Rush is a great talent. I've never seen him live. But, yeah, he's a great talent, dude. And because I watched a lot of his matches, even when he was in the indies.
I was excited when Leo Rush came because I knew him from Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Leo Rush was a stud, man. Leo Rush and Ricochet could have a great match.
Yep, I can't believe that, man. I really did him like that because, I mean, I'm not surprised. Let me rephrase that. That is a lie. I'm not surprised that WWE did that because WWE is WWE.
It's
WWE.
About time that somebody needs to have, like, be given some power to help make some decisions. So, you know what I mean? At least follow through with a push and a plan. See it through. See how it goes. You know what I mean? I mean, with a lot of these guys, they aren't, you know, rushing and putting the world title on them and putting them, you know, sending them on promotional tours. I mean, let a guy get a push and hold a title, you know, earn a spot, put him up against guys that he can have good matches against. And, you know, I don't know. I'm the smart Mark Wrestling fan, but certain people shouldn't lose to certain people. And, you know, because it hurts certain people. And certain people, if they must lose to certain people, can lose in a certain way to where it doesn't make somebody, you know, lose any momentum or believability that they have garnered over the course of a push. You know, and you just randomly have him lose to this lesser guy, like, clean? Wow. Why did that happen? And then, you know, any momentum, it's just gone. Now he's just losing to random people again. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Man, but what do you think, Don?
Or randomly fired.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree 1,000%. Like, Greg, what you said, like, I'm looking at, you know, all the scenarios, like, I'm looking at as well. I'm looking at Apollo Crews. He's the next one, like, you know.
I love Apollo Crews.
Apollo Crews.
Oh, yeah.
Talent, you know, his in-ring ability is through the charts, but you haven't put him since his call-up. You haven't paired him with somebody that he can have that chemistry with, that can, you know, that he can keep, you know, building up. And with this, you know, finally giving him the U.S. title, and now it's sad to say, it's like a lot of reports saying, oh, that was, a throwaway. That was just to please him, and he's going to, you know, lose it again. It really, you know, kind of broke my heart for the dude.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. And Apollo Crews is great talent. WWE is just giving him the title. But I heard that WWE is going to give him the title. He's going to defend it against Angel Garza pretty soon. And then after he defeats Angel Garza, Angel Garza is going to help defend the title back. Apollo Crews is supposed to get the title back. But I want what I said, like I told Martez before, is that I hope that after Apollo Crews loses the title, that he turns heel and gets a different moveset. Because his finishing move, not like that, but it's kind of weak. It's a moonsault.
Man, he was doing this toss power bomb, and it was, I mean, we talked about this last Thursday about Apollo Crews, and the guy's got a $1 million smile, and he just needs a fucked up attitude so people will hate him and maybe someone to talk for him. I mean, the guy, he doesn't have a whole lot of, they haven't had him show much personality. When he worked with Titus O'Neil, he was doing Titus O'Neil's gimmick, and he just stood there and laughed and went along with whatever Titus was doing and did it as pretty much a fucking job guy, you know, that they were a joke, a comedy act that was getting beat, and this guy is such a better talent. But have you ever seen the little NXT thing? Who knows? It could be a work, but Triple H helped him come up with that toss powerbomb, and he can do it to almost anybody. But do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
that moonsault was like a mid-match spot that he would get in every match that was just showed off his athleticism. That's no finish. That's no believable finish. But that toss powerbomb, and it's safe, dude. You know, and he said he can do it to anyone. He can. The guy is a phenomenal athlete. The guy can. I tell a story in the ring. You know, he just needs to be given the opportunity. But you don't even have to make him lose the belt to turn him heel. Just have him beat a couple of, you know, fan favorites in some fucked up ways. You know what I mean? And just keep with that cocky smile, kind of like Kurt Angle did. Like, yeah, and start telling people, I'm your hero. I'm, you know, I got a $1 million smile.
I'm a
champion. I am a superstar athlete. I am a healthy guy. You can man, take after me. You should take after me. And, you know, be oblivious to the fact that people hate you. Something like, but I agree. He could be easy to hate if it was done right, and that's the only way the guy's going to get any love. And if you get him hated long enough, when he comes back around, the people will die for it and cheer for him. You know, and he said, you got to move around the card. AJ Styles said it. You can't always be at the top of the card. But, you know, you can work your way up there and get there and be there, and Apollo Crews could be there. Apollo Crews could have some, you know, good matches with Seth Rollins or guys on top, or even big powerhouse guys, like, because, you know, the guy's so big and he's as agile as fucking Ricochet. So,
yeah, that's 100% true.
They'll
like
fuck it up, though. They've proven anything. They'll fuck it up for sure, sooner than later.
That's for sure. That's what WWE does about. Since I want to say the last time they really thought about having a real superstar was John Cena, and that's where they fucked up. That was the last class of great athletes was the ruthless aggression era. You had Eddie Guerrero, you had Chris Benoit, you had Kurt Angle, you had The Undertaker, you had Booker T, you had The Big Show, you had, the list goes on, The Rock, Stone Cold, everybody. You had everybody. And now, you know, they don't even think about it. They just grab people off the indies, grab people that are over, grab people that supposedly got athleticism when they have no wrestling experience. They hire UFC stars. They hire fucking football people. You know what I mean? WWE does not know what the fuck they're doing no more.
Yeah.
And that's what they did with the Performance Center. They said, you know what? We're going to pay these guys that got themselves over. Fuck that. We will just take washed-up football players or guys that didn't make it, like Baron Corbin, and put them through this. We'll train them the way we want them to be trained, and we'll bring them through NXT, get them over. And, you know, I mean, Seth Rollins, Tyler Black was over. Jon Moxley, he was kind of over. But, you know, I mean, a lot of those guys. And when NXT got really, really good was when they started – getting talent like Nakamura, Prince Devitt, Finn Balor, you know, those guys, when they started bringing some of these, you know, they did it before that with Bryan Danielson, but they got lucky. They didn't know what they had, neither one of those guys. Those guys got themselves over.
Mm-hmm. What was you going to say, Dominic?
Yeah, like Ed Cruz once again and Greg. Martez can tell you. If you ever listened to some of our previous Russell Talking to D show, my barber, he goes by that theory Greg was talking about, which I'm not a fan of no more. He thinks that's the way to sell and develop your talent. He thinks that NXT is garbage. He thinks that Vince needs they need to give the power back to Vince so he can do that. Hire former football players, hire former bodybuilders, hire former CrossFit. You know, I think that will make wrestling great again.
No, it's the emotion that will make it great again. And these people need to fucking love it. Because all these people that are coming in, wrestling wasn't their first love. The greatest wrestlers that we could sit here and name our favorites, I'll bet you what every one of those guys have in common is that they grew up loving wrestling. Very few stories of people that were great and got into it later or became a fan later or whatever. These guys, I wanted to be a bodybuilder and I fucking sucked at it. I wanted to be a football player and I blew out my knee. You know what I mean? So I guess I can do this. Guys make money doing this. That will not make wrestling great again because the emotion is the greatest thing about it. The art form, the emotion, where you're feeling the match and you're one, two, oh, yeah. Do I know that somebody in that ring knows when the actual three is going to come? I don't want to fucking know. I don't want to know at all. I want to feel that emotion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I appreciate wrestling. And you're not going to have guys that are going to resonate with the true wrestling fans and wrestling crowd that, you know, if they don't have that emotion. And for whatever reason, I couldn't tell you what it is. but obviously it resonates to us.
Yeah,
but
no,
that's how you'll get a,
like
a, you know, a super athlete with no charisma, no personality.
Yeah,
a Tom McGee looking ass.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. That's been an argument. No, I don't believe in that. I know I said it. You know, I was just filling you guys in. Like I said, if you go back to previous shows, we didn't have a good whole show that, you know, quite a card that you keep on that, you know, topic, and he wants, you know, people to, you know, be on his side and, you know, shut me down about it. Yeah, it's like, you know, I tell him that stage is over, man. I mean, it's nice. That's a help, but it's not, you know, like you said, those are the ones who, yeah, they look good, but they have no charisma. They have no personality. You know,
did you happen to see the last season of Tough Enough in, like, 2015?
Yeah, it has.
So that's where the Velveteen Dream came from. And from the very first episode, I was like, that guy should win because he was the wrestling fan. I can't believe Mandy Rose won. It kind of worked out, you know. But, man, he was so good, and he got eliminated, and the way they did it was just, you know, it's messed up. But, and funny now, let's look forward 5 years. Where the fuck is this Yeti guy that fucking won? Josh Turnbergler, whatever the fuck his name is, that won is the Yeti or whatever. They even featured more of his past on that NXT little mini series they had where, you know, Baron Corbin was part of it and Apollo Crews was part of it. And they talked about, you know, how he come up with that toss powerbomb finish. But, yeah, that's. The guy that made it is the guy who's loved wrestling for as long as he can remember. Imagine that. The guy that's going to be a star, probably not in WWE.
Yeah, I think he's one of the guys that probably got fired.
Hey, guys, I'm going to have to cut this session here because right now we're going to have the co-owner of Horror Slam, Rachel Green, on the line. We're going to promote this weekend's show that Horror Slam got going on from an unclosed location, and she's going to let everybody know what's going on. So I'm sorry, guys. If you guys want to stay tuned and stay on the line and listen to what she got to say, let her promote the show. Hello?
Hello? Yeah, this is Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, how are you?
It's good. It's me. It's Day Day. How's it going?
It's going. It's been a long day.
Yeah, it's been a long day for me, too. You want to let the listeners know about the show this weekend and let the new listeners know about Horror Slam so they could get to know about Horror Slam?
Yeah. It's going to be in Lincoln Park, undisclosed. If you guys need any information, you can contact me either on my phone at 734-502-6481 or on my Facebook or the Horror Slam page, and I can give you the address. We're trying to keep it low key. They have about 100 people, you know, deal where you can't really have over 100 people, so we're trying not to go over that. So I'm trying to not let everybody know. We have 7 matches for everybody. It's going to be about 2 hours. You know, we have food there. We have 2 death matches. We got, let's see, Jocelyn's going to be there, DTA, Sean Lawhorn, everybody's favorite to hate, Peter B. Beautiful, Nolan Edwards.
Yes, it is.
Atlas Hightower. XICW, Rod Lee. And let's see who else. And, of course, the King of Status, Briar Wellington.
Oh, yeah.
We got a great card for everybody. Last price.
So, yeah, everybody, you heard it yourself. That's on closed this location, and we're going to have fun. We're going to have food. We're going to have about 100 people there. So, yeah, we're going to keep it at that limit. That's going to be the limit is 100 people. We're going to have fun. Like she said, we're going to have 2 death matches. Peter B. Beautiful is fun to watch. If you guys don't know about Peter B. Beautiful, that's one hell of a character. That's the flamboyant one, and he's the queen of extreme. He loves to get physical with it and bring the light tubes and you know, everything go along with it. But yeah, Rachel, these listeners are kind of new to Horror Slam, man, and I'm trying to promote horror. I promote Horror Slam every show that I can, but yeah, do you guys, man, I can't wait to have you guys and see you guys this weekend.
It's crazy. We can't go full on deathmatch because, you know, there will be, you know, kids, it's, you know, outside, so we can't have too much glass on the grass and, you know, stuff like that. We're just trying to be safe. We're going to still try to do the, you know, the social distancing as much as possible. Bring a lawn chair, bring your own beer. Just have fun, you know. The guys miss the ring, being in the ring, and the fans miss Horror Slam and wrestling in general. 3 months is a little too long for these guys to go without it, and I miss it as well. So I had to bring it back some way or another, and it's worked so far. Last week we had a really good time. They're like, when's the next one? I'm like, one week from now. So we're hoping that Saturday they'll say, when's the next one from then? And we'll keep it going as much as possible, you know. And hopefully we'll be back started sometime in June when it's a little more safer. Our venue should be open by June 19th. It's taking a little longer with the board members, you know, agreeing on a date. So we're hoping and shooting for June 19th or June 26th. We'll probably shoot for 3 death matches and maybe 3 regular matches. It'll be kick-ass time. It'll be fun.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, talking about the venue, I mean, before the pandemic started, you guys were going to actually make your guys' pay-per-view debut on Fight TV.
Yes, Fight TV, yes.
Yeah,
I'm shooting for that. It's still going to happen. We're not going to let anybody down. This is something that Breyer has worked hard for and all the guys on the roster have worked for. They busted their asses for the past 2.5 years. They deserve this, and it's going to happen. We're going to make sure it happens. It's supposed to be for March, but I'm not really allowed to cuss on here, but
right.
Gretchen,
no, yes,
you're something
ahead.
Else, man.
Yes, you
Gretchen, you're
you
a fucking bitch.
You
ruined everybody's lives. You ruined us. You ruined Horror Slam. No, they'll be back. And they'll be back harder, you know. The guys have been training. They've been a couple of the guys have been, you know, working hard in the ring, getting their practice in. We had Verdi today and Asmodeus and Breyer today. They were doing some in-ring work. Just trying to get things back to, you know, the way it was. And they will get there, you know. We're not letting anything stop us, you know. That's why I kind of wanted to do this, to have the undisclosed shows, you know, because we don't want them to have the rust when they come back. We want them tip-top shape like they were when we left, like nothing ever changed, you know. And I think it will. These guys are ready. They're ready to go now, you know. It just going to take a couple of weeks, you know. If we got to do 2 more outdoor shows, then so be it, you know. We're going to do what the fans want and do what the guys can handle. I think it'll be good. So, yeah, so Saturday at 4 o'clock, we're going to try to shoot for 4. If you're a wrestling fan and you know Horror Slam, sometimes it doesn't start exactly 4. You may come early as, I would say, 3:30 to get a good spot, parking spot, that is. I guess I bring your own beer. We have the food taken care of. It'll be a good time. And if you drink too much, you're welcome to stay the night. Bring a tent, sleeping bags. It might be chilly that night. If you know me well enough, I'm not going to say exactly what I like or love, but if you know me well enough, you know my favorite thing, the snack on, you're
it's
more than welcome to bring me it. Shut up.
It's rich,
you're more than
guys.
Welcome
it's
to bring
crazy.
Me. I'll be the most. I will be the most humble person of the night. So, yeah, so just get a hold of me. Get a hold of me sometime Saturday morning. Like I said, I didn't disclose the address. Just get a hold of me in the morning, and I will let you know the address. And if any other questions, you can, you know, hit me up.
Okay. Well, guys, you guys heard it from Rachel herself. The undisclosed location is going to be in Lincoln Park this Saturday. Hit her up on Saturday morning so she can give you guys the address. Like she said, bring your own lawn chairs, bring your own beers, get to know the wrestlers, get to know the fans. If you guys are new to the Horror Slam, but like we said, it's 100 people limit. And like she said, also, if you guys are going to want to stay tonight, bring your own tents, bring your own blankets, bring your own pillows, bring your own everything. I mean, it's just going to be a great time. And if you know Horror Slam like Greg does, Horror Slam is a great time. And if you don't know Horror Slam and if you want to come out and be a part of the 100 people, you're more than welcome. And it's going to be a fun time, guys.
Yeah, it's not really kid-friendly. I mean, it is per se. You know, we're not going to go too crazy. you know, because we do want, you know, everybody to experience it, but we will kind of, you know, be limited on that, on the language. But it's all for fun, you know. But yeah, if you know Horror Slam, it's rated R. We got a lot of F bombs and a lot of bad stuff going on. But yeah, we will.
But you don't
sure
mean fart bombs, guys. Use the real F bombs.
Yeah, use the real F bombs. But yeah, so hope everybody comes out. It'll be fun. We will see you on Saturday.
Okay. Well, guys, that was Rachel Green, and she's the owner of Horror Slam, and we'll see you guys Saturday. I'll see you guys. See you later, Rachel.
All right, take care. Bye.
Okay, bye. All right, you guys, that was Rachel Green. She's the owner of Horror Slam, you guys, like she said. Get a hold of her on Facebook, Rachel Greens, if you want to be a part of the Horror Slam this Saturday in the undisclosed location in Lincoln Park, Michigan, which is going to be very fun because I know the location myself. It's going to be a great time. Like she said, bring your own beer, bring your own lawn chair, bring your own tent if you want to stay the night, if you know you're going to get drunk. We're going to have fun, guys. Greg, you still there? Martez, I hope you could come out, man. Dominic, you too, if you're there, man. I would love to have you guys all there. We'll have fun.
Can you hear me? I'm here.
I was
brother.
Muted.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Hello? I'm here.
Am
Hello?
I muted?
No, nope, you're good.
I'm still on mute. All right.
Nope.
Beautiful.
So yeah.
Yeah,
guys.
Reese
Cup. You guys are more than welcome.
Yeah, Reese cups will not hurt you.
Reese cups will not.
If you happen to bring Reese cups.
If you bring Reese cups, you're safe. You are safe if you bring Reese cups.
Yeah. Highly favored. Highly favored.
And we know this the best because we've been there.
I know this. I do. I know the undisputed queen.
Yes, we know the undisputed queen king.
I happen to know the undisclosed location. I was. I'm fortunate to have cool friends.
Yes, we all have that cool friend, man, and it's gonna be a fun time. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm bringing my son. She said about. I mean. Yeah, Horror Slam's not geared toward children. But, dude, if you're not a upside, I mean, my kid lives in the real world, and that's something, I mean, people could debate. But, dude, how do you shelter your kids? What? So then when he hears a cuss word somewhere, which you're inevitably going to hear a cuss word at some point, and what does that mean? It's, dude, in the real world, people speak the way they speak, and I don't know. I take my son to any show, and the rated R shows are definitely a lot more interesting to me.
So, like I said, Martez, I hope you can come out, and Dominic, same way, likewise. I would love to have you guys on this show.
Oh, yeah. It's this Saturday?
This Saturday, man.
This Saturday afternoon.
Oh, man, I wish you would have said Friday, tomorrow, Friday, man.
Man, I'm glad it wasn't Friday. The last one was on a Friday, and that screwed me up,
Friday.
And I missed it. Oh, I hate I missed it. All my friends that I've been missing for 3 months were there. You know, I just communicate with on social media because there's no wrestling. It's, man, such a good time, and it's, yeah, sorry I missed that. What a good time everybody had. And this is going to be even more fun. And quite honestly and quite frankly, there's, like, way more booked. Did you hear Nolan Edwards, dude? Impact wrestler Nolan Edwards?
Yep, Impact.
Oh.
Yeah, we got Impact.
That is one of my favorite. He is the fastest rising star I've ever seen in my life. This guy was like 10 months out of wrestling school and had a job with Impact.
I wish we could get Suplex Suplex Stone on here.
That he is my friend, actually.
Yes,
I will reach
Stone.
Out to him. He is, I mean, a friend of mine.
Talk to him. You know who I'm going to try to get here? You or at the location? Is Johnny Bravo. John, capital letter.
John,
e,
capital
period,
E,
Bravo.
Period, Bravo? That guy?
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can
get him. I love to boo that guy.
Location,
I love to boo him. Fuck that guy.
What?
I love to boo him. He's just, yeah, he's the greatest to boo. He really is.
He is. I'm going to try to get him there. I'm going to try to get him at that disclosed location.
I've seen him at XICW quite a bit. He's been a veteran for wrestling with a vet. He's done a lot I've seen at XICW. And just, man, looking at his face, you just want to hate him. That's, yeah, fuck that guy.
No shit. Yeah, man, like I said, man, it's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be this closed location is going to be awesome. It's a nice 2 yards. Man, it's going to be a bull. It's going to be an extravaganza to be at. Like I said, man, I want my – if you guys can't make it, man, I would love – hey, next show, I'm telling you, I'm going to have you guys there, and I'm going to buy you guys dinner. We're going to go Martez and Dominic. I'm going to have you guys there one day, though.
Okay, man. Hey, man, I got to try, man. I got to try. Like I said, man, me being a frontline worker, man, and going through
I said one day, if not this show, whatever show it is, man, I would love to have you there, man. We all got to get together,
yeah, no,
man, one day.
Man, we will love it. It'll work. Horror Slam is usually on Fridays, too, actually.
Yeah.
There are shows at the VFW in Lincoln Park. Because you're not that far from Lincoln Park, right?
Me? No. I'm actually
Martez.
From the,
no, I know where you are.
Yeah.
Martez, you're in Detroit, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you're not far at all from where
Horse
Flame usually is. Oh, yeah.
Yep, so, man, like I said, guys, it's always a pleasure to have you guys on. And, man, I think my guest, Master Machine, earlier on, but we got about 12 minutes left. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we go or anything else? Martez, Dominic, Greg?
Man, I'm enjoying talking about this undisclosed location wrestling, man. It's an exciting thing.
It's history making.
It's fun to be a part of. It's like some underground wrestling, but it ain't no yarder shit, man. You know?
Yeah.
It's great.
I mean,
you literally got to know somebody to go.
Right. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's fun. It's a fun thing.
Oh, yeah.
What about you, Martez? What about you, Dominic? You guys got anything else?
Oh, nah, man. I think I'm all out, man. I'm just glad to be a part of the show, man.
Man,
what area are you in?
I'm here in Detroit as well.
You going to come to the undisclosed location?
I can't, unfortunately, man.
That's all right, man. Friday, like I said, Friday evenings is Horror Slam. When you have a month's notice, it's a lot easier to make it to something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. So the next one, man, we'll get together. And Dominic, it was a pleasure, brother. It's been a while, but it's always a pleasure, man. It's always been since I've known you, man, since the debate show, man. It's been a pleasure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, most definitely. Oh yeah, I gotta link back up with Martez. I'm gonna call him Marquez. I'm thinking about somebody else. Sorry, Tez.
It's all good.
No, yeah, Martez. Like I said, Martez is the man.
No, I'm just one of the men. I'm a man of many.
Money maker, Tez. That's why I call. That's what we call it.
Money
maker, Tez.
I'm still broke, man. Trust me.
He's so modest.
But no,
he ain't broke.
Look at me. I'm trying to change the subject.
Hey,
now.
Martez, do you got Jamaican in you? Because that man got 12 different jobs.
I just stay busy, don't stay broke.
Stop.
Come
on, he's not broke. He's not broke, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not broke.
Don't listen to Dominic. But I'm trying to change subjects, but do you guys think the fans are too hard on Nia Jax? Because Nia Jax is receiving a lot of heat.
Absolutely not.
No,
I would hate to see my favorite wrestler in the ring with her. She's dangerous, dude.
She's
I don't think
dangerous.
They're too
the
hard on her at all.
The sad thing is that she's a part of the Samoan dynasty, which man, they throw hard in the ring. Any Samoan that comes from that family throws hard in the ring. Even Tamina, she's not that great either, but she's not as dangerous as Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Yep. You guys don't think she's intentionally trying to hurt people, right?
Nia Jax is careless, man. Being stiff and being careless are two totally different things, man. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Because she's big enough and strong enough to ragdoll an opponent doesn't mean she should in that way. I mean, that's like you said, she's part of the Samoan dynasty, man. How many stories have you heard of people getting hurt by Roman or The Rock or one of the Samoans? Or how about even the baddest motherfucker that ever lived, Ming? I've never heard a story of him hurting somebody. You know what I'm saying?
In the ring. Yep.
Every person, controls their own legacy in that you get into it what you put into it. You can't just, you know, it's my legacy. We hit hard. No, dude, you got to be safe, man. Your heritage is safe. Nobody ever criticized working with, I've never heard any of those guys called unsafe. And I've seen someone's, guys will tell you, Stan Hansen was unsafe in that he was blind and he hit you for real. Mick Foley said Stone Cold's punch was a shoot punch. That's why it looked good, because, you know, but again, you don't really, he'll tell you that there's been mistakes made, but he didn't have a reputation for hitting people. He had a reputation for being stiff. You know, Stan Hansen didn't have a reputation for hurting people. He had a reputation for being stiff. He wasn't dropping people on their nugget. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
I think just Nia Jax.
That's right. He did drop Bruno on his nugget and break his neck. That was Stan Hansen, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Stan Hansen dropped off Bruno. But, dude, that was a freak accident, man. If you've seen the body slam, his head just – it really was just unfortunate. It definitely wasn't careless.
Yeah, I think just Nia Jax, they just need to find a thing like we were saying, like stop throwing the little people. And now you see it for the female. Stop throwing the little females to the big bag and stuff. You know, bigger, stronger, tougher. They need now. Your judge might now need a taste of our own medicine. I think what's the girl in NXT? That's like the muscle for was it Dakota Kai?
Raquel Marquez.
Yeah,
Raquel.
Marquez. I know that's your platform. Excuse me. You need to put her on her ass. Just give him one.
Oh, God.
Hey, you know what, Dominic? Like, back in the day, I didn't think cussing was needed. I mean, I didn't promote cussing, but this show, they do whatever they want. So.
I know you're an executive producer. You know, I respect you, Martez. You know how personal, like I said, you know, we know we had that talk, and you came in when you saw me in action, Martez, like, whoa, Dominic, I didn't know you let them words out. I'm like, yeah, when it's needed, you know.
Right.
You know, I can, as you, guys, y'all forgot, me and Martez, we know each other. We personally worked around each other. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody like her, somebody like you know, I see one, just a good size of a match, and just need to come and really put her on her butt. And she'll apologize and tone it down. You know, that's all it is. She's just showing a mockery. Like, this is, you know, as her being her size and advantage, of course, and that's what you're going to give her, and that's what she's going to do. She's going to, as she promotes, you know, she's going to toss these beans. She's going to, you know, use them as ragdolls. You know, and what's the WWE female division has been having stepping up. Now, you know, they move from pretty face and cute ways that could, you know, take a bump. Now, who can really, you know, who looks good in a bikini or who's blind, you got to work with all different types, you know, color, race, whatever, you know, who's dark skin, who's light skin, who's this, who's that, who's little kid in the way, who's tall, who's, you know, et cetera, and yeah. So that's another thing in the female division they need to work on. You know, they need to look at the man to see where they're messing up is and not make those mistakes for the female. So that's what I'm saying. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, yeah, guys, like, we got a couple minutes left, but I'm going to let it go here. And I appreciate you guys coming on. Like I said, Dominic, always a pleasure. And if you want to come on next week and if we can do a little debate also, or we can do this again. Greg, always a pleasure, brother, and I'll see you Saturday. Martez, man, you the man, and
thank
I hope
you
can make it Saturday. Let me know. And all the listeners, I thank you. My guests, I thank you guys, Master Machine, for giving me their time and accepting my invitation on the show. I thank Bill Behrens for letting me have them on my show as their agent, man. Bill Behrens is the man. And up next is a Gorilla Position with Steve Aarons and the Macho Ghost. You know what I'm saying, guys? On Open Talk Radio, The Flash. Like I said, if you guys are missing that, you guys are missing out. Don't cheat yourself, treat yourself. And that's on all the platforms on Open Talk Radio. All the shows on Open Talk Radio. If you're cheating yourself, you're gonna cheat yourself if you ain't treating yourself over here. So, yeah, I love you guys. That's the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Next week is going to be another great episode with Kongo Kong.
Ooh.